by Brian Crothers. And you know, many of you may not know Brian Crothers. I've met him, and he's just a terrific guy. He was in the real estate. Let me just give you a little background for Brian. He was in the real estate business for a few years, and he realized that it was eating up all of his time. I mean, he was making good money, but it was eating up all of his time. And he was recently married and just had a baby, and he was like, I have no time. Typical kind of concept for a lot of people that get into jobs and they find that they have to make a sacrifice. They sacrifice their family for putting money and bread on the table. And Brian didn't want to do that. So he was approached with a network marketing opportunity, Legal Shield, and he decided that was going to be his shtick. Now, for the first 3.5 years, he just kind of, because he was a smart guy, he kind of took it on his own to do it his way. And I did the same thing. It didn't take me 3.5 years, though. I did it for about 6 months, and I decided it wasn't going the way I wanted it to go. And for those of us who have been very successful in other endeavors, we don't have much patience when we're not successful in something. So I became I went out and started, you know, reading books and learning on my own to make sure that I made this into a success. And Brian, it took him, he said, after 3.5 years, he was like at our national director plus or senior national. He was making $1,500 a month or something like that. And he was frustrated as all get out, but he knew that model worked. It wasn't working for him. And then he sat down and he opened his mind and decided, I'm going to start absorbing what the masters tell me to do. And there are 10 secrets, or he had 13, but these are top 10 secrets that he might have been exposed to, but he wasn't adopting in his day in and day out business. And he just decided, if things are going to change, I need to change. And that's really what I'm asking all of you in the field today on this call, because you're going to hear some things today and you go, oh, I've heard that before. I'm just going to ask you, are you doing it? Because if you're not satisfied with where you are in Manatech today and you really are dedicated to growing this as a business, then who's got to change? You want Manatech to change, or you want the products to change, or you want all this other stuff. And the reality of it is, it's us. We're the ones that control our own business. If we want our business to explode, we need to look at things and do things differently. Because if we keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect different results, we know that's what they call the definition of insanity. So you want to quit doing that. If you feel like you're on this hamster wheel and you can't get off and it's just creating the same results, well, then do something different, right? And that's what I'm presenting to you today, is just look at each of these 10 secrets and see which ones are you truly not adopting in your business, whether they're mindsets or they're activities. Analyze them in regards to what you're up to. And knowing that these are coming from Brian Crothers, who, you know, he's made in excess of $10 million. He's the number one top earner in all of Legal Shield. This guy knows his stuff, and he's a very intelligent guy. So I trust him. I loved his book. He has a couple. In fact, he actually has 3 booklets out there now. But I loved, you know, reading his book, and so I'm just coming with great endorsement of him, and I loved the concepts here. So let's jump in and talk about what are these 10 top recruiting secrets that maybe we can start implementing on a day-in and day-out basis in our life and shift what we're doing, which maybe not be working for you or working as well as you want it to work. So let's talk. Number one, first is a mindset. It's about what are we recruiting people into and getting clarity on what we truly are about. We are not recruiting just to get people in a business. What we're recruiting into is hope, change, and solution, right? So in reality, we got to start looking at if we're selling hope, change, and solution, then what do we truly need to do? We have to stop getting out there and selling, you know, sell, and we need to start serving, sharing, and solving. That's what I like, the 3 S's: serving, sharing, solving. And that's how we move our business forward. And I love those concepts because we really are solution mongers. We're out there helping people with solutions in their life, because if they continue doing what they're doing, they're going to continue producing the same results as well. And some people don't have any hope, and you have this ability to build a vision of hope for people, right? So first of all, you've got to, when you're looking at selling hope, change, and solution, what do we need to do? We need to be on a discovery mission, right? So that's really what B is, ask and listen. Ask and listen. You become a great listener. In order to become a great listener, we have to be somebody who asks a lot of questions, because you can't listen to somebody unless they're responding to the questions you have. So it's about, hey, we want to find out about them. We can't provide a solution, or we can't fine-tune a solution. We can't verbalize solution or change or hope to them until we see where they are. What are their circumstances today? So you're on a discovery mission on circumstances. So you ask probing questions. How's the life going? What's going on for you? Blah, 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 right? You find the pain points. Pain points are, what do you like best about your job? What do you like least about your job? So you're going to find what's most important to somebody. You're finding out about them. This is a research project on the person you're talking to without looking like you're an interrogator. So there's got to be feedback from you. You've got to share a little bit about you from time to time in the conversation, but always turn the conversation back to the person. And he goes, so it's in a very, very effective way to draw somebody in to the business with you is giving them your story. Why were you attracted to the business? Some of you don't want to talk about your story because you go, but Mary Jo, I haven't been very effective. I'm not where I want to be in Manatech. I haven't been as successful as I wanted to be or as I viewed. Your success today means nothing. Please get that straight. When you're sharing your story, it's the why. Why did you choose Manatech? Why did you look at Manatech? So share your story with them and relate that to them in their own position. So it's about, hey, you know, if somebody talks to me, I can talk at almost any level. The money issue wasn't real big for me because I came from making a lot of money, but I needed to replace that because otherwise I was selling the house and we were changing our lifestyle, right? So that was important for me. But the idea was time. The idea was time, and the idea was making a difference in people feeling fulfilled. So it depends on who you're talking to, but your story can be different, many different stories depending what it is, because some of us have multitude of reasons why we stepped into network marketing. So when people talk about what they don't like about their job and they're talking about, well, I just had a new baby and, you know, it's frustrating for me because I'm working 12 hours a day, and you go, hey, John, let me share you what my situation was like. And you share your situation. If yours was a time element, too, that the job was just eating you alive and you kept thinking, is this all there is in life? And that's when a friend of mine came over to me and presented me an opportunity that I could change all of that I could truly be at home and be a stay-at-home dad and make more money than I ever dreamed of and not work for somebody else and be under their thumb. And that's why I made the shift. Now, it doesn't mean you're making any money today. You could be making $100 a month. You could not even be covering but why? Your why? Your story, right, of why? Because that's what people relate to. If they see that's what you did, then they're going to be more likely to see, hey, I can do the same thing, right? Okay, so that's the idea of going through that with people. Being answering what they're looking for by saying it's something that was one of the reasons you did what you did. And if it's not true, then don't make it up, because, you know, never, ever be dishonest. Never tell anything but the truth. And then learning how to paint a new vision. So you can use language like, so John, let me ask you a question. If 24 to 36 months down the road, you could see yourself at, you know, at what we call presidential level, which is you're making $6,000 to $10,000 on a monthly basis, and you're still working from home. You get to spend all that time, and you're the captain of the ship. You're running your own business. You choose when to work, when not to. So you control, you know, whether you want to take your kids and go out and play in the park today or not. That's up to your decision. If you could see that, can you see that happening in your life? So you're building. Is that something you'd be interested in? So you're building a vision. You're going to talk about what's important to him and put that in his life 24 to 36 months down the road. Yeah. Helpful, right? And then if you're doing that on a telephone call, what Brian Crothers said he likes to do, he says, that's something I'd be interested in. He said, great, are you at a computer right now? Let me walk you through the registration process and let's get started. Follow? So is that how we're recruiting today? I don't know. Is it a different way for you? Probably. I love the idea of focusing on hope, change, and solution. It's just the greatest thing we can do is to really get into somebody's heart, because they don't follow you, they follow how they feel around you, if that makes sense. They follow people based on heart, not statistics. We love to throw out stats. I'm just telling you, they follow you because of your heart. All right? So we're recruiting people into hope, change, solution. Number two, sorting versus convincing. This is really huge, and it's very big for me because I tend to, being a lawyer, you know, my whole history was about what? Convincing people. I had to argue. I had to provide evidence. I had to, you know, negotiate. It was all about getting somebody to see it my way, and that's whatever I had to do to pound in them to accomplish the result. That was kind of the attitude in lawyering and fight those battles and all that. In this business, it's not about convincing. He said amateurs are the ones that are out there constantly trying to convince people. How many of you on this call feel like you get into desperate mode when you're working with somebody because you're just throwing everything except the kitchen sink at them for reasons why they should start on these products, right? And the problem is that you're absolutely showing up so desperate. You're showing up very desperate. When our business should be about sorting, especially when it comes to the business opportunity. You don't want to beg, borrow, you know, whatever, anything from anyone because you want them so badly in your business. The fight isn't worth it because most of those people won't come in anyway, but you show up looking so desperate, you feel absolutely devastated when they say no. So instead of that, you take a position of, I'm not in the business of convincing people. I'm in the business of searching and finding the people that once they see this opportunity are going to jump on it like no tomorrow. That's the business I'm in. So it's truly about sorting. So make being in your business an honor. To join you in your business is an honor. So you're out there sharing with people and you're going to sort who the people that see have the vision and those who don't. Great. Next. We don't get people in our business. We let them join our business. Hunting versus fishing, right? That's the big distinction here, right? We're out there and we're putting bait out. If people bite, that's great. If they don't, that's great. Because what we're doing is we're sorting. Those who find it, those who see it and find it, bingo. They're the ones we want in our business because they're the ones that we're not going to have to drag across the finish line. They're the ones that we don't have to worry about working with for the next 2 years and feeling like we have to drag them every step of the way, right? That's too tough to do. We can't do that. We're not capable of it. And it's going to make us feel small and it's going to make us not love our business. So loving your business is when you find partners in your business who really can't wait to join you and are attracted. We're an attraction business, so that's the way we need to approach it. We need to approach that. When we're out there, we need to overcome fears, right? And we all recognize that. We have to feel the fear and do it anyway. That's one of my favorite books, Susan Jeffers. So if you haven't gotten that book, definitely do it and read it. If fear happens to be one of the things holding you back, I'm fearless. I can talk to anybody, anytime, any place, and probably it's kind of the way I came out of the womb is what my siblings will tell me. But the idea to have some level of fear is not a bad thing because fear is really what keeps you on your toes. So you want to embrace fear. You want to embrace it. When you feel on that edge, you go, let that edge make me better. So just, you know, be able to be in a place where you can conquer that fear, that you don't let it eat you alive and you don't let it stop you. So embrace it and make it an asset you have to make you the best you are. And when you actually go out there and sort people, it takes all the pressure off you. It's no longer about how good you are at convincing people to do something. You know, there's that statement out there, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. Did you ever notice that about some of the people you've brought in Manatech, that you convinced them, you really fought so hard and convinced them to be in Manatech, and where are they today? Right? A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. It's a great statement. So write that down. So sorting takes the pressure off you. Some will, some won't. So what next? It just lets you keep going and going and going. And we know the statistics. We know 1 or 2 out of 10 are going to be people that actually say yes. So you're going to have to go through 8 no's to get to the yeses. So we're ready. We're prepared. And it's not that you're not good at it. It's what? It's the fact that majority of people don't like change. They are not willing to move. They're not in the marketplace looking for something. And, you know, one of the beautiful things I heard from JP this weekend when he was talking, he said, you know, we started on this blitz last month because they started the business period, not the one immediately after Manifest, the one after that. And he said he signed up 7 people in his first month, okay, the blitz, or not. It was either 7 or 9. 1 month, 7, 1's 9. And he said, you know, of all those, or no, I know what it was. He signed up 9 people. 7 of the people he signed up in that first month were people that he talked to 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago. So he never crosses people off of the list. He always keeps his list. If people say no, great. He keeps them on the list. Why? Because they said no today. People, their circumstances change. So he goes back and he talks to people later. He can call them back up 2 years later and say, hey, John, remember we talked a couple of years ago? I just wanted to bring you up to date. Blah, blah, blah. And he gets people in later. So 7 of the 9 he signed up were people that he already had on his list. They weren't new contacts, but it's because some will, some won't. So what next? Keep them on your list if they don't sign up, and you can always go back and talk to them later, right? Great, great. So number 3, great concepts. What are the right words to say to prospects? I liked some of this language. I think you can incorporate it in as your language. Some people, let me headline this for you. Some people go, no, Mary Jo, no one's putting language in my mouth. I'm going to say it exactly the way I want to say it. And my question to you is, how is that working for you? If it's not working for you, start memorizing different language. It'll be awkward at first, but after you get over the awkwardness, it'll start flowing for you. So he gave out some language about what are the right words to say to prospect. When you're talking to people about the business opportunity, you can say, well, if the money was right and if you it wouldn't interfere with your business busy schedule at all, would you be open to look at a huge opportunity? Right? That's a great way to intro somebody. If somebody's complaining about their job or you start a conversation, you say, hey, listen, if the money was right and it wouldn't interfere with your busy schedule at all, would you be open to looking at a huge opportunity? He likes to mention that because he says people need to know it's worth their while. It needs, and again, language needs to become second nature to you. So if that doesn't come second nature, then build it in your languaging patterning, right? Think about what you're saying today. Most of you probably aren't even talking about the business. That's one of our problems if we're not prospecting to get people in the business. And why is that? Let me get over that hump too. A lot of you don't want to talk about the business because you're carrying shame around perhaps what you haven't created in your own business. That's crazy. And here's why. People don't join you for where you are today. They join you for where you're going. So all of us can say, I saw the same thing, you know, and I love the product so much, I kind of became a master of product use. And then all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute, I joined this for the business. And so in the next 12 months, this is where I'm headed. See the enthusiasm, the joy, the positive. They don't care where you came from. They care more about where you're going because they're joining you to go where you're going. Does that make sense? So change that mental state in your head. Quit telling yourself that you can't do this or you haven't been good at it or blah, 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 whatever that garbage language is. Because remember, that's all this stuff we make up. We love to plaster stuff in our brain and then the thought processes are bad. And when the thoughts are bad, everything else stumbles. Got to change the thinking, change the stinking thinking to move forward. So great language. The second one is, I don't waste time on anything unless it's significant. Someone I respect just told me about a business You've got to see this. Are you by your computer? Now, that would be if you're going to share something on a computer, right? So whatever that way or method that you're going to share, you can be, you know, change that around. But the idea is that you're standing in strength saying, you know, I never, ever waste time on anything unless I feel it's significant. Someone I respect recently, and that recently could be as much as a year ago, right? It doesn't have to be yesterday, told me about a business opportunity. You've got to see it. Are you by your computer? And then, bingo, you get a chance to share it. How about the third one? I'm excited about starting a business on the side because I honestly need to. How many people will relate to that in this economy today? I will tell you more than 50% of the people will relate to that statement right out of the box. Because I respect your knowledge, would you take a look at it and give me your opinion? And that works great on people like on your chicken list prospects that you really value them, but you're afraid to talk to them about doing Manatech. So ask them, say, hey, I really respect your business acumen. That's the language I would use, but you don't have to use those words. I respect your business acumen. Would you take a look at it and give me your opinion and go that direction, right? You need confidence and you need these words to roll off your tongue. So what do you need to do? Practice, practice, practice. This is something you can practice in front of a mirror, you can practice, and then go out and start using it because most of you don't have this kind of language incorporated in your normal languaging today. And again, why do we change? We change because if we don't, we keep creating the same results. So we test things new and we put them in place and implement them over the next few months and see what results you create. See what differences you make. Now remember, go back to the premise of these 10 secrets. Brian Carruthers, very smart guy, worked his network business for 3.5 years and got to what we would look at as national director status. And he was totally unsatisfied with the results he created. And then he focused on these 10 secrets, and he became a multi-millionaire. His business exploded. So maybe that's where you are as well, right? Waiting for the business to explode, but not choosing to do something different or implementing these secrets. Number four, understanding no's and getting referrals. And we've talked about this plenty. I've trained it frequently on these calls. A no simply means that you have what? You've sorted them out. If we're in the sorting business instead of the convincing business, a no doesn't mean rejection. It just means that, hey, they were a person I needed to sort out, right? I sorted them out. But even when you sort out somebody, you never let them go without making sure you ask for referrals. Just because they're not interested in the business doesn't mean they don't know someone who might be interested in making, you know, who's in a kind of a cash flow crunch, might be interested in making an extra couple thousand dollars on a monthly basis. Do you know anyone like that? Right? We ask them. So he had language because he put the language out there. We network through people. I guarantee you that's exactly what's happened in my business. Not one of the leaders in my business today did I know when I started this business. You know how some of you go, oh, Mary Jo, well, you're so successful because you came from a successful background and you knew a lot of successful people. Not one of them is a leader in my business. Not one. I needed to network through the people I knew to get to the people who saw that, you know, grabbed onto the vision, saw the vision for their lives, and ran with it. The people I knew didn't do that. So that doesn't that give some of you some hope out there? So if we don't network through people, we're not going to get anywhere. And networking through people doesn't mean you always sign the person up that you're networking through. You're using them as a vehicle to get referrals. So now you're tapping into their warm market. So you use language. Great, I see you have no interest right now. Who do you know who would be interested in making more money right away? Who do you know that would be interested? Who do you know? Everybody's got friends that have cash flow crises that are looking for opportunities. We all do. I like to use language around who do you know that you'd really like to help out, but you don't know you don't know how to advise them on what to do next in terms of adding some additional cash flow to their lives. Because when you say, who do you know that you'd like to help? Because every one of us has friends. If I start thinking right now on this call about people that really need financial help, I could come up with 20 names just thinking about my church members. There are a lot of people hurting out there today. And that's what you're looking for. You're getting advice from these people. They'll give you a few names, and they're going to give you some information, you know, and you're not looking for 20 names. You're looking for one, two, or three. If for every no you got, you picked up a name, you'd be getting how many names every day? If you talk to 10 people, you get 8 to 10 names every day, right? You'd be collecting, follow me? You're just adding them to your contact list. You're finding information out about them. And then there, what you do is you start calling the referrals. And the first thing you're going to say to referrals, you're going to say, hey, John, this is Mary Jo Hilliker, and nice to meet you. I know you don't know who I am, but I was talking to a friend of yours, Harry, and he said that you were really dynamic, hard worker, but you're looking for something that could potentially create some, you know, extra cash flow in your life, $1,000, couple thousand dollars a month. Is that true? And you'd start talking to him and say, and then you could say, you know, I'd love to, I asked him about a business opportunity, and he said, hey, I have a guy that you need to absolutely have to talk to because he's looking for one. So you just, would you like to take a look at it? That's how simple it is. The language is simple, easy, let it flow, but always notice that you're always complimenting. You're taking up the list of compliments that your person who referred you to them talked about them. So if they're high caliber, if they're hardworking, if they're ambitious, if they, you know, they really are dynamic, they love people, they're a top networking guy, or they're a sales plus, or they're whatever it is that the guy told you about them. You want to take that information. Great personality, you know, whatever that is, that's what you want to reiterate, because when you talk to people about their strengths, what do you think their response is to you? They open up like crazy because it makes them feel good about themselves. So you always want to highlight those strengths. Number five, maintain an attractive attitude through the nose. This is something how many of us get stuck on. Why is that? Because we're desperate. We're so desperate for that person to sign up. I don't get desperate for anyone to sign up in my business, ever. I am not desperate. Do I want to grow my business? Absolutely. Am I anxious right now to get more growth going on in my business? Absolutely. You know, the U.S. market's been a little soft, and it's time that we, you know, really get out there and do something different. I am all in doing something different. But I'm out there talking to people, and I show zero desperation. And when somebody says no to Mary Jo, it's just like, yahoo, one less person I have to go to get my yes. Because I really get it. I get it. I get the fact that no matter how good I might be in sharing with people and loving and caring for people, I'm going to get a bunch of no's. Because people don't like change. Some people just can't see it. Some people don't want to get out of their comfort zone, you know. And some people go, oh, I just can't sell. And I go, you know, and I know we can say, you know, this isn't about, do you care about people? I love the language that I heard over the weekend at the National Association of Network Marketing Professionals. When the gal said, if somebody says to you they can't sell, you just say, well, what if there's a way that we could build a plan for you that would allow you to feel free from feeling like you're selling? Would you be open to talking about that? Right? And then you can start working with them and talk about it, because, you know, to say that this isn't in some fashion selling would be pretty ridiculous, because we're always selling ourselves. No matter what we're doing, we're always selling ourselves. I can't sign somebody up in Manatech without selling Mary Jo Hilliker. Because they're going to be making a decision based on my presentation and how I interact with them. But I'm not selling Manatech products, right? They're buying into a change in lifestyle, a change in health. They're buying into a better future. So that's important for them. By the way, let me give you a nugget. Now that we're on this topic, if you guys don't mind, let me diverge for just a second, because this is something I came across in a three-way call the other day, and when I shared it with some of my downline, they said, Mary Jo, you've got to train on this. It's awesome. And it wasn't that it was so new or different, but I don't talk about it a lot, so let me share this little nugget with you. I was on a three-way call the other day, and this gets back to sharing, right, instead of selling. I was on a three-way call, and the guy on the phone, his dad was a diabetic, and he was asking me all about the products and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, let me talk to you. I said, we can't talk about heal, cure, mitigate, but I've seen the way these products totally transform people's lives. So trust me when I say that to you. But let's just talk about what they are. And I start talking about what those, you know, I'll talk a little bit about glyconutrients and cellular communication. But then I said to this guy, and I won't use his name, let's say a call his name Brian. I said, but Brian, let me tell you the honest truth. You want to look at your father and help him what? Be as healthy as he possibly can be for the rest of his life. And that's the real reason why you want your dad on these products every day. It's about how do I help my father be as healthy as he can be for whatever time he has left on this earth, whether it's 10 years, 30 years, 40 years. That's the purpose of putting these nutrients in his body every day. And the guy said to me on the phone, he goes, I've never heard it like that before, Mary Jo. That's exactly what I want. Do you notice the languaging got into what is he really concerned about? What are people really concerned about? Are they concerned about being healed today from a disease condition, or are they concerned about how can I support my loved one or this person to be as healthy as they can be for the rest of their life? Does that make sense to you guys? Maybe use that language, but it just came to mind as we were going through this. So it's about, you know, making sure we're using the right language to help people see what we're trying to get in their lives. All right, so we just finished. Every no is a step to a yes, so don't get negative and discouraged around no's, but again, use effective language that helps you drive to get those yeses. The next six, number six was gap. Grab a pen, say less to more people. I love this. Everybody take a highlighter on your outline and please highlight the language. Say less to more people. Bingo. Hello. Is everybody getting this point? It is huge. Say less to more people. Let the materials do the talking. I'm here to build a relationship. I'm here to love on you. I don't really want to talk about the cell-to-cell communication and the blue balls on the cell surface, blah, blah, blah. No, thank you. I'm here for one thing. I want to show you my enthusiasm, my belief, my conviction about how great these products are, this business opportunity. That's what all I want to do. So got it? So less to more people. And grab a pen is right in that line. And some of you have heard this before. And, you know, if you're talking to a friend, hey, I have something important I need to show you. It'll only take about 15 minutes. You may or may not be interested. Do you have a pen handy? Okay, grab a pen so I can give you a website address. You give them a website address. Okay, if I give you this website, remember, if I will you. That came up. Where have we seen that before? GoPro. If I will you, if I will you, if I give you this website, will you watch the short video and then call me back? Bingo. Now my question for you is, what website are you going to give them with Manatech? That's a good question, isn't it? My preference here is, if I send you a link, will you watch the video? I'm going to send them the link off of our Manatech Plus app, the overview of the business, right? I want to send them that link. So that's what I would say versus grab a pen. If I send you a link, will you watch the video and call me back? That's what I'd say. All right? But if you want to send them to your My Manatech, you know, webpage, that's yours, hilliker.mymanatech.com, right? Is it hilliker.mymanatech? My Manatech.
Everybody in the U.S. now has their own.
And everybody in the U.S. can have their own website, just like I do. Hilliker.mymanatech.
Yes, you just have to set it up.
And just set it up, yeah,
you
right?
Set it up as Hilliker.
Yeah, but yeah, do not use Hilliker as a setup. You couldn't do it anyway. You can only use once. All right, use your own name. But you could send them to a website if you wanted to, but you know, when you send somebody to a website, they can get lost on a website, can't they? And that's the problem that lies in that. But that's a possibility. If somebody asks you in the process of you telling them to watch the video, if they say, so sure, what is it? You are not going to tell them. All you want to do is say, all I can tell you is you're going to be glad I shared it with you. If I give you the link, will you call me back? And you go right back to the same question, right? If it's a cold lead, it could be somebody that expressed, you know, you met in a supermarket and they expressed some interest in seeing some information. Call them back. I understand you want some information about our company's business from home program. Notice it's about the business again. I got back to you as soon as I could. Do you have a pen handy? Okay, grab a pen so I can give you a website address. If I give you this, see the same concept over again. Great, grab a pen. Next one, 7, rapport method. The grab a pen doesn't really get to know the person very well, does it? Wrong, right. It's more of a faster way, less information coming back. The build a rapport method is a different mechanism that you can get more information. It's more relationship oriented, right? It's slow down, ask and listen, 2 ears, 1 mouth, always remind yourself, right? You want to find a problem to match your solution. So you're digging to find out what their problem is. And the questions go back to questions we've seen before. What do you like most about your job? What do you like least about your job? Of course, you don't start that. Listen to the first 2 questions. I like to talk to people about, hey, just tell me a little bit about you. Tell me, what do you do for a living? How about your spouse? Great. Kids, family life, super. Got it. What do you love most to do? You know, I ask them, what's your favorite hobby? You know, what's your favorite activity? And just to find out about them. You get to get a picture painted of the people you're working with, and no better way to be able to relate to them than if you have this picture. And people love, what is a person's favorite topic? Talking about themselves. Yeah, it's a given. So if people push you back and they're secretive and they're not willing to talk about themselves, I'm telling you, don't go after them in the business. They'll be terrible. Number 2, see if you can still get them on the product, right? But, I mean, because you're looking for effervescent people, people are kind of like to share, like to know more, or like to talk about, you know, parts of their life and things like that. So that because they're going to be more open with other people as well. So remember, we're sorting business. So make sure you always keep that in mind. So asking the questions, what do you like most about your job? What do you like least about the job? Then you can go into language like, if I could show you a business opportunity where you can and you add what they like most about their business, and it doesn't have to, and you add what they like least about their business, would you take a quick look at an overview of such an opportunity? See, what this method does is it helps build their why. It gives them a reason why they're going to look at it. When you say grab a pen, you don't have a reason why. But people still have their whys, but you don't know what it is. The rapport method builds that into it, so you are going on a discovery mission, you find it, and you can then utilize that as a mechanism to get to share the materials with them. So, it's again, choice of different methods. Number 8 is become a storyteller. Mirror and match. And I love this as well. I don't do a lot of this, so I'm going to start incorporating this into what I do. Facts tell, stories sell. We always know about that. So when you start a conversation with somebody and you say, so what do you do for a living? And they go, oh, I'm a real estate broker. And I said, wow. I said, that's kind of a tough business, isn't it? And he goes, well, yeah, kind of competitive, but I'm doing well. And I go, I bet you're working a lot of hours to do well. And he goes, you got that right. I go, you know what? You remind me of this friend of mine I met at a convention. Her name was Susan Stills. She's out of Florida. She was the same thing. She had 2 boys at home, and she was working her butt off, one of the top real estate people in southern Florida. And, you know, half of her clients were people in the business I'm in. And she kept looking at the homes they were living in and all that stuff, and she finally said, why am I doing this, not spending any time with my family, when I could do what they're doing? And you know what? She turned around and started doing that business opportunity I'm talking about, and today she's making twice as much what she made in the real estate business as she did before, but she gets to be a stay-at-home mom. Bingo, do you get this? Mirror match. And you don't have to talk about people in your own organization, because then you go, well, Mary Jo, what if I don't have somebody in my organization like that? It's a person you know. That's why I love going to network marketing conventions. I meet a lot of people, and this happened to be one of the speakers we had at the Professional Network Marketing Association meeting. The woman was a real estate broker. So that's exactly her story. I can share other people's stories. That mirror and match, right, what this person's going through, because it makes it believable to them. right? It's mirror and matching. So it's a great thing to do, but you got to have the story. You got to get out there and meet people and know things and read books about networkers and what they did. Like some people will say, what if somebody, you talk to somebody and you talked about your business opportunity a little bit and they said, well, you know, I've tried networking so many times. They go, you know what, you remind me of this guy in this industry. I said, his name is Jordan Adler. He wrote a book and I can't wait to send it to you. It's called Beach Money. But this guy did 11 different network marketing companies over 10 years. He had 22 credit cards maxed out. And you know what? He never gave up. He said, I know the model will work. And he tried one more time. He got a mentor in his life that he trusted, and he told him exactly what to do every day. And you know, Jordan Adler today is a multimillionaire. He's on top of his company. And I mean, why not? Because do you really believe it's the company, or do you believe it maybe something that just wasn't going right for you? Do you notice the story? Again, it wasn't somebody in my downline, but it was Jordan Adler, because I read his book. I saw him three times at network marketing conventions. I love his story. He's got a great story, but it builds a belief as somebody else. If this guy can do it, why can't I do it? Follow me? And he failed at 11 different companies in 10 years. Wow. But he believed in the model. And, you know, most people believed in the model. Once they jump in and did it one time, they typically saw a story. So tell a story. Become a storyteller. Next one, feel, felt, found. Now, some of you go, Mary Jo, we've heard feel, felt, found so many times. How did you learn something in this section? I learned something. Are you ready what I learned? This is great. Now, first let's go over what feel, felt, found. Usually people use feel, felt, found as what? Responding to objections, right? Isn't it? Number one way it's trained in network marketing is how to respond to objections. So if somebody says, oh my gosh, network marketing, blah, 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 oh my God, and you go, Sarah, I know exactly how you feel, because when I first started this business, I felt exactly the same way. This is what happened to me. I did it, and I found that even though I had all these misconceptions in my head or perceptions in my head, that the reality was, they weren't right. This is what I found, right? So that's a feel, felt, found. So whatever the objection is, you can apply feel, felt, found to it. Everybody got that? We've been trained 1,000 times. If you haven't been trained on this, please talk to your upline and say, where do I get a good training on this? Because I want to get this down pat. It's very effective because you're stepping into the other person's shoes. You're feeling what they're feeling. You're showing their feelings are valid. When people say, oh, is this a pyramid scheme? You go, what do you mean pyramid scheme? I can't believe you would call this a pyramid scheme. I can't believe that you would accuse me of being involved in a pyramid scheme. Do you think that's an effective way of bringing them on board? Or do you think if you looked at him and said, oh, my gosh, you know what? When I first looked at this, I said the same thing. I'm like going, wait a minute, like this is this thing where the people at the top make all the money, you know, and I start relating to exactly what they're saying. But as I got into it, I realized it's the furthest thing in the world from a classic pyramid scheme, because really corporate America is the pyramid scheme, isn't it? Isn't that where the guy at the top makes, like the average CEO today is making $20 million a year in the United States and the guy at the bottom is still making minimum wage? I said, what could be more of a pyramid scheme than a corporate structure? How many people get to the top? Less than 0.1%, right? I mean, like nobody. So this isn't that way, because the neat thing about the structure, and then you go and tell them that the only way I ever get anywhere in life is I help other people make money and do well. So my entire business model is about me pouring in other people, being a great mentor, helping other people do great. See, isn't that great? So that's how we used to use it. How did he teach me to use it differently? And again, learn to use it that way. But he taught me in his training that I need to use feel, felt, found to win friends and influence people and to validate positive feedback. So when I send somebody some materials and I say, so Bob, what did you like most about what you saw? And he'll go, well, Mary Jo, what really thrilled me was the idea that, you know, you guys build teams together and you work in teamwork, so I'm not out there isolated. And I go, oh my gosh, Bob, I know exactly how you feel. Because, you know, when I was first approached, I thought, oh my gosh, I've heard about these things and you're out there all by yourself, and here I, in a corporate environment, I have all this protection of people around me, and now I'm all isolated by me. And I found that this was so awesome, because I had upline support. As soon as I had downline people, I mean, it was just awesome to see how everybody pitches in to help everybody else, because it's a model that only works if everybody contributes to everybody, right? What an awesome. Do you see how it's no longer about an objection? It's about feel, felt, found based on a positive feedback. So I'm starting to incorporate that. That's a big win-win for me that I've never used before, but I see how you validate the person's comment, and people love to be validated, don't they? They love validation. So, and then the last thing he talked about, and number 10, was this texting blitz, which is something that Lydia and I are now putting in place, because we believe, when you hear something once, that's good. When you hear it twice, that's really even better. But this is my third bingo on this one, so guess what? We're doing it. We're doing texting blitz. And I love it so much because, first and foremost, let's talk about how people are responding today. Are people responding to your phone calls today? No. People don't even answer the phone. How many of you are sitting around the living area or something, the TV's on, and the phone rings, and you're notified on your television what the telephone number is, who it is, right? And if there's a name related to it. I mean, we don't even answer. Even if it's a friend, I may not answer the phone call. Don't tell me. I'm not telling you guys not to call me. But, I mean, most of us, we don't do that. Because why don't we do that? Because we don't want to be interrupted. We can always call them back. But do you know the statistic on texting? It's like in less than five, is that the statistic? Like 80% of texts are responded to in less than 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a ridiculous statistic. 3 minutes, I think Lydia said. I might have put 5 in my outline. She wasn't around when I remember we read that statistic the other day. Like 80% of texts are responded to within less than 3 minutes. And I know that just every day that I text. I see it, this immediate response, bing, 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 bing. It's like, what do these people do, carry around their phone and read it every 5 seconds? I don't do that. Don't text Mary Jo because I don't respond in three. I mean, don't have an expectation of 3 minutes for me because I'm so busy in activities. I my phone's in my purse. Sometimes I even lose it. It's still one of those. But the idea is the average person is responding in less than 3 minutes. So it is definitely one of the top ways of communication, in addition to Facebook messaging and all that kind of stuff that's going on today. So what do you want to do? What is it? How does this help you in prospecting? Well, what a great way to prospect. You know, you can send, and here's the other thing. You can get a list of 100 names, phone numbers, pop them into your phone, and you could have one text message, and you can copy-paste it, and within a few minutes, you can be sending it out to 20 different people. How long does it take you to make 20 phone calls? Wow. Light up anybody? Right. And he gave language in his texting blitz of what different language you use depending on what you're trying to accomplish. So if you're asking somebody if you want them to watch or listen to materials, he just texts, I need to show you something important. Got a few minutes? You can go. If they ask, sure, what is it? Then you just say, if I send you this video, will you watch it and call me back? Got it? He doesn't share what it is. Again, say fewer words to more people. Let the materials do the talking. If you want to get an appointment versus just sharing some information, then what do? You just write, text coffee, ? Of course, for me, that'd be really hard because I don't drink coffee, so I would have to come up with something. But, I mean, the idea is you just say, hey, catch up at Starbucks, ? Meet up, Starbucks, ? You know, something really, three words, shorter than 3 words. That's what you want to type in. And bingo, you start getting people to meet up with you. To invite to a meeting, he just types in plans Thursday evening, ? If the person says, no, what's up? I'm going to a business meeting, thought you'd love to see it. We can meet up at whatever it is. He right away assumes he's not busy, so this is where we're meeting up. Get it? And that's how he does blitzes, texting blitzes. You can send it out to 20, 30, 40, 50. Experiment with it. See how you do. But it is the way to go. So you want to get people's phone numbers, right? Cell phone numbers. Okay, guys, that's it for today. How many people on the call? I need to hear feedback. Was this good? Did you pick up some pointers, things you're not doing today that can potentially turn your business in a great direction?
You are great, as usual.
Thank you, Sue. Anyone else? What did you like? What did you find in all this stuff? Was there something that hit home for you?
Hi, Mary Jo. This is Jane.
Hey, Jane.
Hey, I really enjoyed that a lot because I really do understand. There's so many of those areas that I don't do right. And, yeah, I know I've got to stick to it and hear it over and over again like that, which is really good. I mean,
good.
I do.
Great.
So thank you for reiterating everything that I know I should be doing.
I know it is. You want to slap yourself. You go, hey, this stuff, it's not anything, you know, everything I taught today really wasn't a lot of new, but it was just reiterating what works, right?
Right.
What works.
Right, yeah.
And we take the easy road, and the easy road doesn't really work very well, but it's easy, right? I mean, it's so it's about getting out of our comfort zone, doing something different.
Yeah.
Be different. Yep. And I just can't wait to hear the feedback from you guys and the results you create, because it is about, you know, we got to be different. I said to Lydia, I said, it's exhilarating to me to just see, hey, I've got like major issues in here that I want to shift in how I'm doing the business. And yeah, great.
Yeah. Awesome.
Super.
Very well presented.
Yeah.
Very well presented.
Thank you.
Very good. Excellent.
Thanks.
Mary Jo.
Ma'am.
Yeah.
This is Diane. I didn't get on the whole call, so my question is, I know you had a training on Saturday. Was that taped so that we will be able to listen to JP? You were wonderful. I just needed to be reiterated over and over and over again.
Great.
Are they going to do that?
The training on Saturday is JP Coster's is already listed in my announcements on the outline today, where you can go and listen to him, right? I think, didn't we, Lydia, put that on there or not? Yeah, it's http://livestream.com, Manatech Now, True
so
Health
they
Tour. They have JP Coster, but I don't believe they have the rest of the event taped. Oh, the audio, what they're going to do is they're going to section it off. Like, Mary Jo, I did a piece on why may not be enough.
Okay.
And building your relationship to more, building relationships, a way to get more yeses. Okay. So, and everybody did, we had a starting guide thing. Kevin Robbins did Why Manatech. So there were different pieces that were done throughout the day, and they plan on segmenting those off and putting them in as TOMS. So you can, you'll be able to find those as TOMS tools down the road. But
wonderful.
Super, huh? Yeah, we had a great time. The regional was terrific. And by the way, one more plug for you guys, just not about Mary Jo, but how many of you are listening to the success calls on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock? We've had two of them. They just kicked off 2 weeks ago, and I'm just going to tell you, you need to listen to those. And those are also posted. And they asked me to do the second one, and I did a topic on the mindset of an entrepreneur. And I think the information is dynamite. You just go listen to that, because some of us, if we don't make the shifts in our mindsets, we wonder why we're not successful in Manatech, and it's because we're hanging on to employee mentality. And you can't stick with employee mentality. You've got to shift into a mindset of an entrepreneur, or you'll forever stay stuck. Does that make sense? Because
where do we find that, Mary?
Where are they posting the Manatech Live as well? Look for success calls. Success calls.
Great.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you can be on them at 10 o'clock every Thursday morning, definitely be on them live. But you know that they're stored. They're taping every one of these. They're only that the talk is 25 minutes. They have an intro and then a closeout, and the talk is 25 minutes. So just take advantage of those. Okay?
Thank you for all of your help, hon.
Absolutely. Love you guys. Have a great week. Let's make it happen. Talk soon. Bye, everyone.